How many of y'all believe that tonight? Anybody? Jesus is our healer. That He is all we need. You know, every week here in this church, in this family of faith, we have the opportunity with people to reaffirm that. That You are our healer. That You are all I need, Lord, in the midst of the chaos of life. We had people go today who were diagnosed with cancer. We had people who died on the operating table today. And so we believe in the midst of all the chaos of life that Jesus is our healer, and in the midst of the craziness we face, that He's everything we need. Amen? Well, today we're going to continue in Acts. Pastor Jamie's at children's camp, so pray for the children. And he'll be back next week. And so Jamie told me one time, he said, man, it's great. He said, you interact with the kids, then you go to your air-conditioned room, and so pray that his air conditioner doesn't break or anything. But anyway, we're going to continue, and I want to remind us of the text that Jamie preached last week. Really well, by the way. I went back and listened to it. And then go to the next portion. And so, if you got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 12. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Bible says this, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You that You are our healer. Lord, we thank You that You are God over our bodies. You're the one who knitted us together inside of our mother's womb. And Lord, Your works are wonderful. And so Lord, You know our bodies better than anybody else ever could. And we thank You, Lord, that when things go awry, You, by a word from Your mouth, can heal us and restore us to complete physical health, Lord, better than we were before. We thank You that You still heal people today. But Lord, even more than that, we're thankful that You are our spiritual healer. Lord, that You resurrect us from the death that we have died in sin. Lord, that You raise us to life. And Lord, just as Dylan illustrated, that in Christ it is no longer we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. And so Lord, tonight we ask that You'd move in a mighty way. Heal us tonight. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. How many of you went to a church before you came to Hillview? Anybody? Raise your hand. All right, so most of us, okay? How many of you, the church you went to before you came to Hillview, at least practiced things vastly different than Hillview Heights Church? Anybody? Yeah, the vast majority of us again. I mean, there's not too many Steve Ayers in the world, right? And there's really not too many Jamie Wards. He's shrinking, but he's still Jamie Ward. And so he cheated, all right? He had surgery and lost 30 pounds. I'm holding on to that because I haven't, never mind. Yeah, the church I grew up in, we talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God a little bit. It was a great concept. It made for a good lyric, but that was about it. And so we really didn't have a great understanding of the power of God as revealed in the Holy, through the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And so when I came to Hillview, man, it just freaked me out on so many different levels. Number one, the lights and the guitars and the drums and the good music and all of that. Just, I mean, we sat back in the back under the balcony because I knew this place might start shaking at some point. All right. And Ayers is up here preaching and I'd never heard a preacher like him ever. I don't think I still have ever heard a preacher like him. I mean, he's nuts, right? But he's talking about the power of God. And to me, you got to remember, this is a relatively new concept that, yeah, I understood that there was power. Most of the time we sang in his power, you know, P-O-W apostrophe R. You only know that if you had a hymnal in your old church. But we sang about his power. And, but that was it. And he's up here talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in the lives of believers. And it was a riveting concept. I mean, it grabbed me, right? That's what we see here tonight. We see in the book of Acts, as it unfolds, the fulfillment of Acts 1:8. You remember Acts 1:8? It's the Great Commission as recorded in Acts. And Jesus is telling the disciples that just before he ascends into heaven, what does he say to him? He says this. He says, I want you. It's not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That one verse sets the theme for the whole book. And what we see as we read now in Acts 5 is the unfolding of that verse. They've received power. The Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost and he has filled them. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was so thick on the Apostle Peter that when he walked by, even his shadow would heal people. That's how thick the Holy Spirit was on him. And so people were bringing their sick and their lame and everybody they knew who was struggling and trying to get them to the apostles. And they were being healed. And it was this incredible display of power, all in the name of Jesus. And people were coming to Christ, man. People were coming to faith. And it was a big deal. And the Bible tells us in our passage tonight that the high priest and all his associates, they were Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. And it wasn't that they were filled with jealousy because the power of God was being revealed. No, they were filled with jealousy because it wasn't them. You ever been there? You ever been there? You've seen God move mightily in someone else's life, and outside you do the church saying, oh, that's so wonderful. Look what God's doing. Isn't that incredible? But on the inside, you're like, come on. Come on. Why not me? Right? You ever been to the hospital and visited somebody who's sick and seen somebody in the next room who gets well and the person who's still sick is mad? God healed him. Why won't he heal me? Now, we don't ever talk about that, and you certainly never say that to your pastor, right? Because he might think bad of you. But that's where we all go. Why not me? And they were filled with jealousy, and what did they do? They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Even the best plans of these chief priests, of these Sadducees, could not stop the gospel. And that's the first thing I want us to get tonight. It is this, that the power of God expressed through the Holy Spirit will not be stopped. I mean, I want you to think about this. How many enemies has Christianity had over the course of 2,000 years? I mean, it started pretty early. Rome hated us. They hated us. They didn't have the NFL. They had burned the Christians after they run away from the lions in the Colosseum for a while. Isn't that crazy? We get upset when somebody makes fun of us for being Christian or they put a little Darwin fish on their car. They got upset when they were tied to a stake and burned in front of thousands of people. I don't think it really compares. But the power of God cannot be stopped all through history. Think of all the people who have come against the message of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think of all the many people, Nero, Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, over and over and over and over again, people coming against the gospel, and what has happened every time? The gospel prevails. The message of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be stopped. Why? You think it's just because the people who run the church are real smart? Think that's it? Well, I can promise you, I work at a church and help lead one of the churches, the local bodies, and it's not that, okay? I mean, Keith baptized somebody tonight, and I'm praying it sticks, really. Keith. So, he was talking and didn't even hear me. That's okay. It'll stick, Dylan, it's okay. It's not that we're great. It's not that we're great. Jamie had a great line. He said, listen, if you have any of your pastors on a pedestal here at Hillview, just give us a chance. We'll let you down. And we will. Why? Because we're people. Sinful people saved by the grace of God. And the only shot at heaven we've got is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And so, yeah, give us a chance. We'll mess it up. We'll let you down. But Jesus won't. The power of the gospel cannot be stopped, and it will not be stopped. They threw the apostles in jail, thought we'll just sequester them. We'll get them in one place where they can't do this stuff. And what does God do? God sends an angel, and he gets them out. Now watch, he gets them out with an agenda. Look what the Bible says. The angel says to them, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. The agenda for the power of God moving in this case, and in every case, is the gospel. The agenda for the power of God moving in every case is the gospel, every single time. I'll never forget my first God stock here. It was God stock something. We had green shirts. I've been through a lot of God stocks now. And it's coming up, by the way, so sign up. But my very first God stock here, I'll never forget. I spoke a little Spanish, and anyway, that's going to be important here in just a second. So we have Saturday night worship, and it's powerful, and Steve's on fire, and he's preaching in his flip-flops, which is, it's cool to do, and it's just an incredible time, and so many people come, and they receive Christ, and God's just moving in mighty ways. And after the worship service, I go down, because I'm the university pastor at the time, and I'm going down to the campground, because we've got some university students who are camping out, and I wasn't married at the time, and I'm sure I was heading down there to flirt with somebody, and so it was godly flirting, all right? Hey, I like your new Bible. never mind. So don't try that one, by the way. I just got to tell you, my wife right now, you know where she is? She's not at church. She's at the Backstreet Boys concert, all right? So pray for me when my wife comes home with a Backstreet Boys t-shirt. That was totally nothing to do with the sermon. All right, so I go down to the campground to flirt holy, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting there talking to some of these students, and I hear, Jeff, we need Jeff, we need Jeff. And I've been here, you know, a few months, and you don't really hear that often. And so they come down, they get me, and they bring me to this guy. And this guy is from Mexico City, and he speaks zero English. He speaks Spanish, but zero English. Now listen, I had almost minored in Spanish in college, and so I'd had a lot of years of Spanish. But when you don't use it, you lose it. Right? I mean, that's true in that sense. And so I come to this guy, and Steve's standing there, and he puts his hand on my shoulder and goes, Pastor Reynolds, we're going to need you to share the gospel with this man. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh. Oh, this is not good. Right? I had forgotten. And in that moment, I just went blank. I mean, I couldn't remember hola, and everybody knows hola. Right, so I'm sitting there, and Steve's still talking like he does, and so he's still talking, and thank God I'm able to kind of gather myself, and I just whisper prayers, Lord, Lord, I've never spoken in tongues before, but I'm asking for it right now. I'm asking for you to loosen my tongue in the language of Spanish that this man would hear the gospel and not some crazy concoction that I don't even know I'm saying, right? So I began to talk to this man, and all of a sudden it was the craziest thing. All of a sudden I mean, it's coming back. And God was taking those things that were lodged in my brain from years ago, and he's through his Holy Spirit, power, and the Spanish is coming, buddy. I don't even know what I'm saying, but he does. So the dude, I lead him in the sinner's prayer. He receives Christ. He gets baptized the next morning. I get to baptize he and his wife in Spanish at the beach. And boom, here we go. And it was my first Godstock baptism. And it was incredible. And it was the power of God revealed. Why? So the gospel could be proclaimed. It wasn't about glorifying me. Now, if I had strutted down there, yes, I've almost had a minor degree in Spanish. Let me share the gospel with him. No, I went in fear and trembling. I'm trying to impress my new boss, right? And he's like, you said you speak Spanish. Oh, my gosh. Which is a lesson in not padding your resume that much. But anyway, this guy gets saved. It's an incredible thing. And so not only did God reveal his power, but it pushed me to study Spanish a little bit more. And I did. The power of God is released for the sake of the gospel. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 20, and you don't have to turn there, but I do want to read it to you. Jesus is talking to cities in which he performed miracles and they didn't repent. Hear what he says. It says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up from to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Why? Why was Jesus going off on these cities? Here's why. He had done so many miracles in these cities. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. People's lives had been changed. The sick were healed. The dead were raised. Everything was changed. And the people still didn't repent. That reveals something to us about miracles. The point of a miracle is never the miracle. The point of a miracle is the gospel. That people would see the power of Christ revealed and turn to him in repentance and faith. And listen, we got a lot of miracle worshipers going on in the Christian church today. All right, we got a lot of miracle worshiping. When I was a kid growing up in church, and it was probably just because I didn't pay attention. I don't think it was the church's fault. It was mine. I thought miracles were something great that happened in Scripture, and you heard about them occasionally elsewhere, but not so much in our lives. But remember this, miracles happen every day. And I know that's inscribed on a stone that you can buy at Lifeway, and that's so cheesy, but it's true. Miracles happen every day. If you in this room have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been forgiven of your sin, and you know that with the moment you take your last breath on earth, you'll take your next in heaven with Jesus, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. That is a greater miracle than somebody who is physically dead being raised to life. Did you realize that? Yeah. That is a greater miracle. Why? Because somebody who's physically dead and is raised to life will die again. Lazarus, we didn't hear this part of the story, but Lazarus died. He was in the tomb 4 days. Jesus went, and according to the movie Jesus of Nazareth, he raised his hands like this and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth, and he came out, and we hear of him reclining at the table with Jesus a few days later. But we don't hear this. He died again. The little 12-year-old girl that Jesus raised from the dead and said to her, Talitha kum, and she awoke and she's alive. She was dead, but she's alive. Guess what? She died again. But when somebody gets raised spiritually, that is an eternal raising. It's eternal. It can't be taken back. It won't be relived. It is sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's an eternal miracle. Last year we saw 516 people go through that baptistry at Hillview Heights Church. And so for you and me, it's real easy to become numb to that fact. Real easy. Down at Church on Main, they've seen 8 baptisms since they opened up in May. They haven't seen 8 baptisms over the last 5 years. It's a big deal that people would be transformed. That they would go from death to life forevermore. The point of the miracle is not the miracle. The point of the miracle is the gospel. The angel sends him to preach. So go stand and preach the good news. Preach the full message of this new life. The Bible says at daybreak they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. Stop right there. I wasn't planning on stopping right there, but stop right there. Power is revealed when we obey God. What did it say about the disciples? What did it say? It said, Jesus comes, this angel comes, he opens up the prison. They come out, go and stand in the temple courts and preach the full message of this new life. And what does the Bible say that they did? Well, they went to the temple courts, preached the full message of this new life. That's exactly what they did. They obeyed Christ. See, we think that a miracle is something that a man in a white suit with a handkerchief pushing people down on the stage is what it's all about. And that's not it. No, there is a miracle in the obedience of the gospel. I never forget, I heard a preacher tell this story, and I can't even remember his name, but his daughter went in high school as a missionary to a country down in Latin America. And they went to a remote little village, man. They hadn't even heard of God before. Right? And she's there and she's in one of the huts and she's there to proclaim the gospel. And they weren't sneaky about it. I mean, they knew that's why they were there. Well, some of the elders of the tribe got wind of this and they had their own pagan religion and they had their own gods that they would sacrifice to and things of that nature. And so when they found out that these kids were there to share the gospel, the elders closed in around this hut that they were sitting in. And essentially captured them. They wouldn't let them go. Can you imagine being in high school, a girl, not the girls are weak, but being a high school girl, come on, sitting in a hut in remote Latin America, the elders of some tribe are surrounding your hut and they're not letting you go. What do you do? What do you do? Freak out. You holy people are saying pray. Yes, you would pray as you freaked out. That's exactly what you would do. Yeah. But yes, you would pray. And you know what? He said in a moment of lucidity in that hut, his daughter, and he was telling this very humbly. He wasn't bragging. He said his daughter just got this overwhelming sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit in that place. And she just began singing a song that she knew and had known all her life. And it went, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven and earth with wisdom, power. You know the song. Our God is an awesome God. And she began very quietly at first just singing this, very, very much even to herself. Maybe as a reminder that in the midst of this situation, our God is an awesome God. And even in this moment, He reigns. Even in this scary, scary moment, He reigns. That He has not climbed off the throne. He is reigning even now. And as she sang, she began to get a little bolder and a little bolder and a little bolder. And the song got louder and louder and louder. And soon some of her co-missionaries started catching on and joining in with her. And before long, even those natives who did not know the language began to sing the exact same song. And then the elders who were holding them captive began to sing the exact same song. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God changed the hearts of those men. And not only did they release them, but they came to Christ. See, the Holy Spirit moves when we obey the gospel. The Holy Spirit moves when we obey the gospel. Right now, all throughout the Middle East, there are books written about this. It's incredible. But all throughout the Middle East, there are people who are entrenched in another faith and they're having dreams. And in these dreams, they are seeing visions of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're seeing visions of Christ, these theophanies, and Christ is coming and saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and He's beckoning them, much in the same way He called Peter and Andrew and all the disciples. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, follow me. And there's account after account after account after account of these people, these men in a country and in various countries where Jesus is prohibited. Where His name cannot be said aloud, and they're coming to Christ. And they're giving their lives to Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit of God moves with power that the gospel might be revealed. So that's great. And if you're like me, you're getting in your heart and in your mind the same feeling that I got every time I heard a missionary speak. I would sit there in my chair and say, man, that's awesome. Maybe one day I'll go to Timbuktu and I'll see the power of God revealed. You ever felt like that? Maybe listen to these stories tonight, you're like, man, that's awesome. Maybe one day I'll be stuck in a hut in Latin. No, I don't want to do that. Maybe one day I'll watch a documentary about Latin America and I'll feel confined and then I'll sing Our God is an Awesome God and it'll feel better, right? Now the power of God moves in Bowling Green, Kentucky today. The power of God will move through your life in Bowling Green, Kentucky, in Butler County, Kentucky, in Simpson County, Kentucky, in wherever you're from, wherever you live, wherever you go about your business today. You say, will God still do things like heal people? Yes! Will God still do things like bring sight to the blind? Yes! Will God heal deaf people? Yes! So how do you know? Well, I've seen some incredible things. Seen some incredible things. We've seen incredible things happen at this altar. We've seen incredible things happen at that chapel altar as people come at the end of a service just to pray. There was a deaf boy who left able to hear. You say, well, how come y'all don't tell that story all the time? Because it's not about the miracle. It's about Jesus. You see? Yeah. But here's the bigger question. Will God still raise the spiritually dead today? Yes. He'll do it tonight. He'll do it right here, right now. He'll do it where you work. Isn't that crazy? Right where you work, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, He'll do it. If you'll obey and share His gospel, He'll move through you. The Holy Spirit will. He'll touch another life. And you'll see that life transformed, not by your power, but by His. Right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And so we're going to have an altar here in just a moment. And if you don't know Christ, now is the time to receive Him as Lord and Savior. And if you do know Christ, now is the time to ask that His power might be revealed in your life. The Bible says if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, that you're the temple of the living God, and His power dwells in you. You know what? Last week, I just listened to the sermon. Jamie told you people that you need to be inviting people to church. He told you that you need to be inviting people to go eat with you. He told you that you need to be sharing your faith with your waiter or your waitress. He told you that you need to be sharing your faith at work. I'm going to tell you the same thing. And I'm going to tell me the same thing. Listen, I'll wiggle my way out of an evangelistic encounter if I can, if I'm left to my flesh. But when the Spirit of God grabs a hold of me and says, get back over there. Okay. What happens? God reveals His power in what would otherwise be just an ordinary moment. He'll reveal His power through you if you'll obey. Who knows what God has broken you out of so that the gospel could be proclaimed? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about the tumors you had that you never knew about? You ever thought about the car wrecks that you could have had that you didn't even realize? You ever thought about the tragedies that could have occurred in your life that you don't even know about, and yet God protected you from them? And why did He protect you from them? Well, we say it's for a reason. You know what that reason is? That the gospel of Christ may be proclaimed and that the kingdom of Christ might grow. And so we're going to have an altar. And I'm going to invite all of us to come and to square up with God on some things. And say, Lord, I don't even think about what you do every moment of my life. I don't even think about, Lord, the fact that if you didn't move, my heart wouldn't beat. I don't think about, Lord, that if you didn't move, my lungs would not fill again with oxygen. I don't think about all the things you have protected me from that I don't even know about. But Lord, I know why you've done it, that the gospel may be preached and people may come to Christ. Yeah. So we're going to have an altar. Tonight, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will receive you tonight. If you'll just come to Him confessing, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But I know that you're the Son of God who came, who died on the cross to pay the price for my sin, who rose from the grave the third day, and who ascended into heaven, who will return to gather together His church. And Jesus, tonight I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to come into my life, to help me follow you. Tonight He'll do that, if you'll just ask. And if you're a believer, that you'd join me at this altar. Say, Lord, help me obey. Let's stand together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your love for us. And Lord, we pray at this altar that miracles would occur. Lord, if there is anybody in this room who's never given their life to you, Lord, that tonight they would receive you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, for those of us who have, that we would come and recognize that you do have us here for a reason. And Lord, that reason is your glory revealed through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Lord, I pray that people would be saved tonight. I pray that people would come and say they want to be baptized tonight. And I pray that we would repent and ask you to move powerfully through us, that this city and this region might be blessed. Lord, we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Please come. Amen.